Today's Shir Masechta Kedushin Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amar Aleph, the third line, Itmar. In the previous Shir, we had learnt the Sugya of Niskatcha Shloila Dasavia, a girl who became Kudeshus without her father's knowledge. And the question of the Gemara was, is the Kedushin a valid Kedushin or not? Rav and Shmuel had said that the halacha was tzricha get with tzricha niyun to dissolve such a kedushin, for we are concerned shema nisrat av. Perhaps the father consented to this marriage. Itna says the Gemara, k'tana shenskatcha shloila dasavia. If a girl got married mereses without a father's knowledge, omer Rav, says Rav, bein he or bein avi yichayim akiv. Both she or her father have the ability to protest and block the marriage. Rav Asi Amar, Aviya V'lohi, only her father has this ability and not her. Most Rishonim explain that the din that we're learning now in the Gemara applies whether there was a shidduch, as we discussed in the previous year, between the girl and this husband or not. The same din will apply. However, the Rishonim point out a number of qualifications on this din. The Ramban says that the father's ability to protest is only if immediately upon hearing of this kedushin he protests. But let's say he heard and accepted, and then later on he changes his mind and is not satisfied, it's too late to protest. However, other Rishonim, and the Beis Shmuel says that that's the opinion of Tosfos, says that even if the father was silent at the beginning and only protested later on, does he have this right? The Rishonim, however, debate the din that our Gemara just taught us, that the daughter, the girl, also has the ability to protest. Some Rishonim suggest that the daughter's ability to protest only is before the father protested. But once the father accepted the Kedushin, then the daughter can no longer protest. However, other Rishonim, and that seems to be the opinion of Tosfos, that she could protest even after her father accepted the Kedushin. Which, of course, at first glance, is a difficult opinion to understand. Because as we're discussing, as the Gemara began today's shir, we're referring here to a girl who's a ketana. And a ketana, her father has the right to marry her off anyway. So why would it then be, asked the Rishonim, that if the father accepted the Kedushin, can she protest, and we accept a protest? Her father can anyway marry off if he so desires. So the Rishonim answer, the din, of course, is that a father has the right to marry off his daughter. And under normal circumstances, if a father marries off a daughter who is a ketana, that kedushin is a valid kedushin. Here, we're not dealing with a normal situation. We're referring to a situation of ketana shniskatcha shloila dasavia. In such a situation, the regular dinim, that a father has the right to marry off his daughter, do not apply. And the Rishonim actually give a very nice explanation and understanding why it's different. When a father utilizes his right to marry off his daughter, that is the right the Torah gave him, and it doesn't make a difference what the girl wants or thinks. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where Ketanah Sheniskat Shloil Dasavia. The girl got married without her father's knowledge, and the father perhaps is not satisfied with this shidduch. But we know sometimes parents agree to what their children do, even if they themselves really don't feel it's the right thing to do or wouldn't have done it themselves. So perhaps the only reason the father accepted this kedushin is because he saw that this is what his daughter wants. However, once he sees that his daughter is Meicha, that his daughter doesn't want this Kedushin. So he doesn't want it either. And that's why, in this situation, even if the girl was Meicha after the father accepted the Kedushin would not be valid. Rav Asi, however, disagreed. Rav Asi says that it's only the father who has this ability to be Meicha, not the daughter. Eisfer Funa Rav Asi. Vamler Chie Barav Rav Asi. The Torah speaks about a parasha of Mefata. Mefata is if someone seduces a Nara to have relations, where the Torah says that after such an act, he has two options. Either he has to marry the girl, if so is the desire, if so the father and the girl consent, or he has to pay knas. That means by oinus, if someone violates a girl, the halach is, he has to marry her and pay knas. Here, it's either or. So the pasuk uses the words, imayin yamayin aviyah. Eli ala aviyah, so the Torah is only teaching us that the father has a right to refuse that the girl marry this man. He atzamanayin. How do we know that this girl has the same right? Tamaloyma imayin yamayin. So the Torah uses the words, imayin yamayin, that double lush imayin yamayin, become makam. That she too has the right to protest. Now the Gemara at this point is assuming that the pitui, when the man had relations with this girl, it was pitui l'shem kedushin. It was with the intent l'shem ishus. It was the intention of marrying her. And yet this brisa is telling us that both the father and the girl have a right to refuse. So we see that not only does the father have the right to refuse, but even the daughter. Not like what Rav Asi said. Answers the Gemara, Amla Rav. So Rav defends Rav Asi's opinion, and he said, Lo tezlu bas ipcha. Don't bring a proof from. Don't bring an incorrect proof, because Yochel Shnuilchu. For Rav Asi can't respond. Kigon Shapita Shloim Shemishes, where the relations were not done on the with the intent of having a marriage. Ask the Gemara, Peter Shloim Shem Ishus Kuraboy. If the situation was that it wasn't done with Shem Ishus, do we need a pasuk to teach us that the father could prevent the erusin from taking effect? There was never a kedushin, and since there was never a kedushin, and the father never married her off to this man, obviously there is no kedushin here. Why do I need a pasuk to teach us Imoin Yimoin Aviyah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what is the pasuk come to teach us? Loimer Shemeshalim Knas Kemafota. What the pasuk is actually coming to teach us is that he pays Knas Kemafota. And there are a number of pshatim and how to understand what the Gemara is saying. One pshat that the Rishonim explain is a very interesting situation. We will have the man who is Mefata the girl. The father of the girl then consents that the girl should marry this man. The girl herself, however, doesn't want to marry him. So as far as the din of marriage is concerned, she will have to marry him, because the father has a right to marry her off. But as far as the din of knas, the mefata will still have to pay knas. For when doesn't the mefata pay knas? Only when both the father and the daughter consent to marrying him. But here, since the father consents to marrying him, but the daughter doesn't, so therefore he still has to pay knas. Tosfos gives another explanation that the case here is that by the time it comes to marry her, she's already a bogeres, or she's already a yosaima, rachman al tzlag, her father passed away, that therefore, under those circumstances, she has a right to refuse the marriage. It's no longer a father here to make any decision. But in these terutzim of Taisvus, there's a question amongst Rishonim how to understand what is the circumstance Taisvus referring to. Is this circumstance Taisvus referring to that there was already Hamadah B'din, that this person was brought to Din for what he did, and then before the Din could actually be carried out, then the father died or the daughter became begaris? Or is the situation one where even the Hamadah B'din took place after the father died or after she became begaris? Amalei Rav Yosef, Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Nachman, Ihochi, and the Rishonim point out, Rashi already points out, typically when the Gemara uses the words Ihochi, what the Gemara means to say is, when I was coming to ask a question. Here actually, Ihochi is coming to prove. Haina Tanina, we can now understand what the Brisa says. Mar Yimarena Leisha, that this Mefata should take her for a wife. Shetzricha Mena Hikdushim, that Kedushin are now required. Which corroborates the explanation that the Pasuk is referring to a situation where there was Pitui Shaloi L'Shem Ishus, not with the intent of marriage. For if in Pito L'Shem Ishus, if we're going to say that the Pasuk is referring to a situation that the Pito was with the intent of Kedushin, the question is Kedushin Lamali. Why would another act of Kedushin be required? Says Abaya, Amalei Abaya. Abaya says, this exact proof is not really a proof. Because what we could say the Pasuk is teaching us is, Shetzrichin Kedushin L'Das Avia. It could be that the original Kedushin was done only Ladas, only with the consent of the girl, without the knowledge of the father. So even though, as we've been learning in our sugyas, we're always concerned, Shema Nisratzoaf, perhaps the father was satisfied with the Kedushin, but what the Pasuk is teaching us is to take away any of these questions, was there a really valid Kedushin? Wasn't there really a valid Kedushin? Then the father should now make another act of Kedushin. Most Rishonim say what's really required is not another act of Kedushin. What is really required is that the father expressly indicate that he is satisfied with this Kedushin. Says the Mishnah, and we've actually learned the din in this Mishnah and the other shir number of days ago. Ha'imalish, if somebody says to a woman, Hiskachli b'tamarazu, b'imakam kudeshes to me with this date, Hiskachli b'zu, and then he says again, Hiskachli b'zu. So, the halacha is, says the Mishnah, im yesh b'achman shava pruta, if any of the dates have a worth of pruta, then mekudeshes, we have a valid kedushin, v'mlav, and mekudeshes, otherwise, we don't have a valid kedushin. As we explained, and we'll explain in a moment in the Gemara, since he made separate statements of Hiskachli b'tamar zu, each statement is viewed as a separate act of Kedushin, which prevents us from combining all of the tamarim, all of the dates, and therefore for the Kedushin to be valid, we have to have a date which is a Shavapruta. However, do we shine and point out that even though the Mishnah is teaching us that if there is no date which is worth a pruta, we won't have a kedushin, what the Mishnah means to say is we won't have a kedushin vadai, we won't have a definite kedushin. However, we will have a suffic kedushin. A suffic kedushin remains, and the reason is for two reasons that Rishonim offer. One is a concept that we've learned earlier in our Masechta, shema shava pruta b'modai. Perhaps this tamara, here, it's not worth a pruta. But in another place in the world, where tamarim are less available and more expensive, it is worth a pruta. And that's why the Mishnah is specifically speaking about a tamara, because by a tamara, the halach is that we have to be concerned, shem shava pruta b'modai. On other items, particularly as we learned earlier in the Masechta, where then they weren't able to transport perishable food, so even if the item is not worth a pruta here, we have no reason to be concerned that maybe it's worth a pruta elsewhere, because it couldn't be transported to another area. Another reason why the Rishonim suggests that even though our Mishnah is saying we don't have a Kedush Shivadai, but we have a Kedush Esophic, is because the halacha is that this din, that we don't combine the dates, as we're going to see in a moment in the Gemara, is really the subject of a machloikis tanon. And our Mishnah represents the opinion of Reb Shimon. The other tanon disagree with Reb Shimon, and therefore we have to be chayshish that maybe the halacha is like one of the other tanon, and that's why it's a sofik kedushin. Another case. If somebody said, however, bezu, 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 then the halacha is, we do combine all of the tamarim. And im yeshav a pruta b'kulam, if they all combine to a value of a pruta b'kulam, then b'kudeshes. But even if we combine all of the tamarim, we don't have a shav a pruta and a b'kudeshes. Says the Mishnah final statement, which we will spend a lot of time with Shem the Gemara trying to understand. If she was eating up one date at a time, and b'kudeshes, and what pshat in this line is, we will learn from Mitzvah in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, man Tana, who is the Tana that says hiskachi hiskachi, by making the statement hiskachi b'tomorrow zu, these separate statements, the halachi is that she, unless there is a tomorrow which is a shavapruta, she's not mekudeshes. Omar Rabbah says, Rabbah Rav Shimoni, this represents the opinion of Rav Shimon that we discussed, as we discussed the other day. The halacha is, if somebody approaches someone else and says to him, you're holding a pikadon of mine, you're holding a deposit of mine, and the person who's supposedly holding the pikadon swears falsely that he is not, and then he comes and he admits that he had sworn falsely, the Torah requires that he bring a carbon asham and also repay a keren v'chaymish. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos discusses a situation where five people approached an individual claiming that he is holding deposits for all five of them, and he denies holding those deposits. And the question that comes up is, he chayiv five karbonas or is he only chayiv one carbon? And the Gemara in Masechta Shavuos says it depends how he, what his statement was, how he said, how he expressed his denial. And Rav Shimon's opinion there is that it's considered five, it's only considered five separate denials if he said the word Shavuos separately to each one of the claimants. So we see that Rav Shimon says that's only considered separate when he said it's got Shavuos separately. Similarly, in our Mishnah, when he's coming to Mekadosh, the woman says five separate statements, Hiskachli b'tomorazu, Hiskachli b'tomorazu, it's considered separate statements, and since they're considered separate statements, you cannot combine the value of the tomorrow. Continues the Gemara, bezu, bezu, bezu. The Mishnah taught us the next case, but if he said bezu, 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 then we do combine the value. Emiyesh b'kul and shavapruta, if together there's a shavapruta, we do combine, and we do have a kedushin. And then the last statement of the Mishnah, as we just mentioned, was, Hoysar chelos rishona rishona, at enem kedashes, at shehei b'achas mehen. Said the Mark, ahai, regarding which of the two cases of our Mishnah was this statement referring to? Ilema a reisha, if we're going to say that's referring to the reisha, and it's telling us that if she was eating each, if she ate up each tomorrow, she's not mukadeshus unless one tomorrow had a shavapruta. Ask the Gemara, my iria achelus, as we just explained, the reisha of our Mishnah is teaching us that because he articulated his kedushin in such a manner, each kedushin, each statement is considered a separate, independent statement, and therefore each tomorrow, for a kedushin to be valid, do we have to have at least one tomorrow that's worth a pruta? So why is the Mishnah teaching us a case where she ate the tomorrow, a feel menachas nami, even if she didn't eat up any of the tomorrow? Each tomorrow, each tamar, as we explained, is viewed separately. Does catch the bezukamer, because the way he expressed his kedushin separates each tomorrow. So that can't be the case. That can't be the case that the last words of the Mishnah are referring to. Says the Gemara, Ela Seifa. It's going on the second case of the Mishnah. where the Mishnah says that all of the dates combine. However, says the Mishnah at the end, that when do they combine? If Vafilu Bekamaisa, even if the first date was worth a pruta, Vamilvihi, asked the Gemara. The Gemara's question is that if she ate up the tamara, any tamara that she ate up can no longer be considered a tamara with which kedushin could take place, because this would be a situation once she ate up the tamara prior to the kedushin taking place, the tamara is a milva, and we know the halach is hamikadosh b'milva ain't a mekadeshes. Somebody that's mekadosh with a milva, it's not a mekadeshes. So what's the Braisa saying at the end? That if he gave her a whole bunch of tamara, as long as there's one tamar that's worth a pruta, we have a kedushin. If the tamar, any tamar, any date that was eaten up before the actual wording of the kedushin takes place, should no longer be considered kesef with which kedushin could take place, because it's a milva. She owes him the value of the tamara. And we learned earlier in our masechta, we're going to go speak about this more soon, that a mekadosh milva and a mekadoshes. So Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan, on observing what is happening here, that we have a situation that we really don't understand how to learn the Mishnah. It says, Hare Shulchan, Hare Basa, Hare Sakin. We have the table, we have the meat, we have the knife, Ve'elan Halacha, we can't eat. As the Mefarshim explains, as the Chozma Lublin explains, Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, Taroich Lefonai Shulchan. He asked that his learning should be set up like a shulchan, that it should be like a shulchan aruch, understandable. And that's why, in fact, the shulchan aruch is called shulchan aruch, all spread out for us, easy to understand. Here, we don't have a shulchan aruch because we don't understand how to learn our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Amr Tavayu, Loilam HaReisha. The way to understand this last statement, the Mishnah, it's referring back to the Reisha, where the Reisha told us that since the Kedushin, the wording of the Kedushin was articulated in these separate statements, each tomorrow, for the Kedushin to be valid, we have to have a tomorrow that's worth a Shavah Pruta. And we asked, if that's the case, it doesn't make a difference if the tomorrow was eaten, or if it wasn't eaten. If there isn't a tomorrow that's worth a Pruta, we don't have a valid Kedushin. So why does the Mishnah have to talk about the case of a Cheles? Says the Gemara, Lomi Bai Kama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. It goes without saying. Lomi Bai Menaches, certainly in a situation where the Kedushin were articulated in this way, and the separate Tamarim are laying out on the table. There the Loch is, Iyik is Shavah Pruta in. If we have a Tamar that's worth a Shavah Pruta, then we will have a valid Kedushin. Eloi. But if we don't have a Tamar that's worth a Shavah Pruta, why we don't have a valid kedushin? Avoy chelas. One would think that she ate up the tamara. So even though if we went to the store to buy the tamara, it isn't worth a pruta. However, here she showed that this tamara has value to her, because Hoyle Makavra Anaisa, she enjoyed eating that tamar, and that should cause that Ema Gomra Makinafsha, that it should be considered a situation that she accepted kedushin, even though if we went to a store, this tamar wouldn't be worth a pruta. Kamash Malan, that just because she ate the tamara doesn't give that date the value of a pruta. And if the kedushin was articulated in such a fashion, we have to have a date that's worth a pruta to have a valid kedushin. Rav Ami Amal Olam Seifa. The way to understand the last statement of the Mishnah, it's going back to the second case of the Mishnah. We asked if it's referring to a case that she ate up the tamarim, then the tamarim, that any tamar she ate up becomes a milva, and a milva cannot be a vehicle for kedushin. So how do we understand Shavapruta? Doesn't mean any of the tamarim, because any of the tamarim that she ate up would not be able to be a vehicle for kedushin. what the Mishnah means says, Achei Bechreinu Shav Pruta, the last Tamar, which she did not eat up previously, would not be a valid Kedusha. There are some Rishonim that explain that Rav and Shmuel aren't really arguing in din with Rav Ami. They just don't believe that the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Other Rishonim, however, hold that Rav and Shmuel are actually arguing on this explanation, or Rav Ami's explanation of the Mishnah, because they hold that Tosfos says this. It's like a situation that if somebody says, I'm being Mekadosh, I'm giving you today something, and the Kedushin should be valid only in 30 days, that the halacha we learned and will learn is that even if the money that was given under such with such a stipulation is no longer here, the Kedushin is still a valid Kedushin. And that's why Rav Shmuel argued with Rav Ami in Din. Amar Rav Rava says, Rav Rava, Shnami Namid Rav Ami Tlas. After we hear Rav Ami's explanation of the Mishnah, we can infer three halachas. Shnami Namid Kadosh from Milvah and Mekadoshes. The halacha that we've been discussing all along, that if you want to be Mekadosh a woman with a loan, it's not Mekadoshes. And that's why Rav Ami could not accept the situation that if she ate up the Tamarim, we should have a valid Kedushin, because the halacha is, because those Tamarim that were eaten up are now only a milva, and a Mekadosh from milva and a Mekadoshes. Even though I saw that the Paiskim point out that Hamakadish Mimilva Ein Mekadeshes, what would be the halacha in such a situation? Not in a case. The simple case of Hamakadish Mimilva is that somebody, a woman owes a man money, and the man goes over to the woman and says, with the money you owe me, you should become a Kaddish to me. The halacha is that that's not a Kedushin. And the reason, as we will learn and have learned, is because for a Kedushin to be effective, the husband has to actually give something to the wife. Here, where it's just a loan that she already has, so he hasn't given anything tangible to his wife, and that's why it's not Mekudeshes. What would be the halacha, however, the Paiskim discuss, where somebody buys from a woman an item, and he gives her, let's say somebody buys from a woman an item which is worth $50, and he gives her a $100 bill. So she owes him now $50 change. Is owing change considered a milva, and therefore would not be a valid Kedushin? Or owing change is not considered a milva. It's not that he lent her money that she has to pay back. It's that when you give somebody extra money, they have to give you back change. And therefore, some Paiskim want to suggest that that would not be considered a Mekadosh from Milva, and it would be Mekadoshes. Next, the next thing we can understand or infer from what Rav Ami, the way Rav Ami explained the Mishnah, Vishmamino, HaMekadosh from Milva Pruta. Here we have a situation where he gave her many Tamarim, which she ate up, and the last Tamar is the Tamar that she is the only one that Kedushin could be effective with. So even though it's a milva, which the milva may be worth a lot more than the pruta, since the pruta is something which is here and which is tangible, so as the Rishonim explained, when a person has two things in his mind, something that may be more valuable, but it isn't immediately available to the person, and the other amount is a lot less, but it's immediately available, the person has a mind on the pruta. And therefore we say the woman doesn't assume that she's becoming mukadeshes with the larger amount, with the milva. She has a mind what is immediately available the last tomorrow. And in fact, the Rishonim say that that is why we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, that one should not be our minig is that we mekadosh a woman with a ring, but our minig is also that we don't use a ring that has it in a stone. Why? Because it's unclear what the value of the stone is, and she may think, the woman might think, that the stone is worth more than the ring, and than it really is, and it'll be a kedusha toss. So the Rishonim ask, even if she isn't clear and she's mistaken about the value of the stone, but the ring in which the stone is in is certainly worth a pruta. So why is she not soymich das on that? So the Mefarshim explain, in a case where one item is not here, like our Gemara, we have the milvah and we have the pruta. So she only pays attention to what is actually in front of her. But in the case of the ring with the stone in it, so the stone is actually here, and she's going to be samech das on the stone, and she may think that the stone is actually worth more than it really is, and therefore, it's not a valid kedushin and should not be used. B'shma mina, and we also see from here, mas ba'al mechazer, that the question is, these tamarim that she ate, which actually do not affect a kedushin, how do we view these tamarim? Says our Gemara, from what Rav Ami says, that these tamarim now become a milvah. These tamarim, she now owes him the value of those tamarim. So we see that the tamarim become a milvah rather than just a gift, which leads us, according to many Rishonim, Taisus discusses it, the itmar. Because there's a machlokes if the next piece of Gemara is actually a freestanding piece of Gemara, or is it connected? And the question is based on how we understand this Gemara. Most Rishonim explain that our Gemara just taught us that when we give something to somebody without indicating what it is, it's considered a milvah, it's considered a pikadon, and that's why the Gemara discusses such a situation. Itmar, hamakadish achaisai. If somebody makes kedushin with his sister, which of course is an invalid kedushin, you can't marry your sister. So, and he gave her money. How do we view that money? Rav Amar, mas chayzer. The money she must return to him. The shmurah of mas matana, she could keep the mas, which is really connected to the previous Gemara. We're here too. According to Rav Ami's understanding of our Mishnah, the tamarim that she received are considered a milvah. Rav Amar Mois Chazim, and the Gemara explains what each one of these manda amrim hold. Rav Amar Mois Chazim, the money has to be returned to him. For Adam Yedeish ain't Kedushin Tavs Machaisai. Everybody knows that Kedushin cannot be created with one sister. And therefore, when he gave the money, the garment of a nasa was shem b'kodin. Certainly his intent was that he should give it to her as a b'kodin. So asked the Gemara, if that were his intent, v'leim olam shem b'kodin, so why didn't he say that that was his intent? Says the Gemara, sovar, because he thought, lo mekabla. She's not going to want to hold on to a b'kodin, to a deposit on his behalf. And that's why he said it this way. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds, mas matana. For Adam Yedei ain't Kedushin Tavshim Machoisai. Everybody knows that Kedushin cannot be valid one system. Therefore, the government of Nasim Lashon Matana, when he gave her this money, what his real intent was that it should be a Matana. So says the Gemara, if that were his intent, the name of Lashon Matana, why doesn't he say so? Says the Gemara, Sava Ksif Lamilsa, she's embarrassed to take a gift, so this is the way he said it. Says the Chazanish, that now that we've established the opinion of Rav and Shmuel, even if the person who gives his sister the money, Lashum Kedushin, now and expressly, according to Rav, says that I gave it to her as a gift, or vice versa, according to Shmuel, he expressly says that I gave it to her as a bekadon, it wouldn't make a difference. The din remains under all circumstances. And then Machna explains what is the basis of the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. It goes back to machloikis that we have in Rav and between Rav and Shmuel in many places in Shas. If holchem mammon acharoiv, do we follow by dinei mammonis the roiv? So everybody, says the Hamakna, agrees that when they give their sister the money under this fashion, their intent was a bekadon. Rav, who says that we follow roiv, says that since in roiv situations we could assume that that were the intent, he could now demand it back because he could say, I followed the roiv, it was given as bekadon. Shmuel, however, holds that we don't follow roiv, so she is holding on to the money. She could say that perhaps it was given to me as a matana. Hamaitzi mechaver olav araya, you can't extract this money from me. Al Gemara, was referring to a situation where somebody gave the money to assist to a sister, where Kedushin is certainly not valid. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. What will be the din if somebody gave money to an Ashes Ish? Can we make would we the same din? The Rambam holds that Shmuel again will hold that everybody knows that you can't be Mekadosh an Ashes Ish, and we can assume that the money was given to her as a matana. However, the Rosh is not quite certain if we could extend Shmuel's psak to the case of an Ashes Ish as well. He says, where the money was given to a family member, so it's obvious that Shmuel was saying that this is the way, as the Gemara just explained, Ksif le Milsa, she's embarrassed to take a gift, so this is the way he was able to present a gift to her. But in the case where it was given to a stranger who's not a family member, maybe even Shmuel would agree that there is no reason to believe that it was given as a gift. Which is interesting to note, because I saw a very interesting Shaila in the Sefer Shaila Sechuvis Torah Lishma, where there was a situation where there were two people or a number of people sitting together, and one person turned to the other one and said to him, "I'll sell you the city of Paris for $5. And the person went, took $5 out of his pocket and gave it to him. And after they finished wherever they were sitting at, he says, "Give me back my money. It's obvious that this entire conversation was a charade. You can't sell me the city of Paris. You don't own the city of Paris." So the question is, Al Gemara, here obviously the seller never intended to sell him Paris. He isn't able to sell Paris. So the question is, how do we view the money? According to the opinion of the Rambam says, according to Shmuel, we always view it as a gift. And therefore, here too, the person who received the money says, "You obviously knew that I can't sell you Paris. And when you gave me the money, we follow according to Shmuel, you meant it to give it to me as a gift." However, according to the Rosh, maybe, as the Rosh says, it's only by a sister. By anyone else, we wouldn't say this. And perhaps even Shmuel would agree that the money was not given as a gift and he would have to return it. Asks the Gemara on Shmuel, Masav Ravina. We know that when somebody makes a dough, he has to separate challah. Says the Mishnah, Hamaf and challah has to be separated after the dough is a dough. If somebody hamafresh challah say kemach, if somebody separates it while it's still flour, ain't a challah, it's not considered challah. The gezel b'yad koyin, the koyin is not allowed to keep it. He has to return it. The Rishonim ask that the Gemara many times, when it speaks about truma, speaks about a situation where somebody takes truma before the truma is completely processed. And the Rishonim ask why, and it's considered a valid truma. So why by truma is the halacha that if the truma was taken before the truma was processed, it's considered a valid truma, and here not? So some Rishonim suggest there's a special gzeiros hakosef that by truma, even if you took the truma earlier, it's a valid act. However, most Rishonim say that tchala is called truma throughout the Torah also. So they explain that in tvuah there are three stages. The first stage is before the produce is even a third grown, and there the halacha is that taking of truma is meaningless. The second stage is when it's already a third grown, which it's really premature to take off truma. But the halacha is if one did take off truma, it would be acceptable. And the third stage is when it's completely processed. So they say there are three similar stages regarding challah. If somebody takes off challah when it's still flour, it's totally meaningless. If somebody takes off challah when the water was placed together with the flour, even though it isn't yet a dough, it would be a challah b'diavad. And the third time, the proper time, is when it's ready made into a dough. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah says Masechta Challah, if somebody gives challah to a kohen while still flour, it's considered gezel b'yad kohen, as if the kohen stole something. Ask the Gemara, why are we taking such a strong position? Just like Shmuel said here, Neima Adam Yadeish Eima Frish and Chal Kemach. Why shouldn't we say that everybody knows the Chal can't be given where the flower is just flour? V'nas L'shem Etono, he gave the flour as a gift to the Kayim. Answers the Gemara. So just like here Shmuel said that he gave the money to his sister as a gift, there we should say he gave the flour to the Kayim as a gift. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam. There Shmuel says is different by the case of Chala to Nafik Chorvimenei. A terrible thing can happen. Sometimes a Kayim will have less than 3/4 of a calf of flour, which is, as Rashi explains, the minimal amount you need to have to take off challah. So he has some of his own flour, from which he didn't obviously separate challah. And now he also has this flour that he received as challah. And now the high olish lebahadi hadadi. He mixed together the flour that he received as challah together with the flour that he has at home, which he knows is not challah. And he thinks the sakni sasoi, since a portion of the flour he received is challah, so challah doesn't have to be removed from it. So he doesn't think that he has enough flour that he's obligated to take challah from. V'asel mechel betevlo, and he'll come to eat it. But he doesn't. But it is all tevel, because the flour that he received was a gift, but it wasn't challah. And therefore, to avoid this mistake, Chazal said, return it. So as the Rishonim explain, the Gemara could have even given a simpler explanation, that he got a very large amount of flour, which he thinks is challah, which he thinks is already challah, proper challah, and he doesn't realize that it's still tevel. The reason the Gemara didn't give that explanation, says the Rosh, is because to have such a large amount of flour to be considered the challah portion, you would have had to start off with a huge amount of flour, which is unlikely. Another pshat is, just along the same lines, the Tosfos Rit explains that since this is the normal situation, that he gets a small amount of flour as challah, and then he combines it with the flour he has at home, so Gemara wanted to refer to the norm, to the regular situation. Says the Gemara, how could you give this explanation? For Amrit, Adam Yedeya, Shema Frishin Chala Kemach. We just said before that everybody knows that the challah he received in the flour state is not really flour. So how will he come to make such an error? Answers the Gemara, Yedeya, Vein Yedeya. He knows, but he doesn't know completely. Yedeya Shema Frish Chala Kemach. A Kohen Taka knows that normally he shouldn't receive challah in flour state. Then he did, but he isn't completely sure about this. The sover, because he thinks, Tamay Umay, why is the reason he's not supposed to get challah when it's still just flour? Meshum Tirch the Kohen, Chazal, the Torah were concerned that the Kohen should get something which is ready in a more processed state, when it's already dough, not when it's only flour. And he thinks to himself, the Tekirch the Kohen Echelsei, I don't care, I'll accept it as flour, even though it involves more Tircha for me in making it into a dough. Ask the Gemara, v'tehevi truma. So why did Chazal say, why does the Mishnah say they have to return it, let the Kohen keep the flour, and we should require that challah should be removed another time. And we have a precedent for such a process. The halach is, the Gemara many times speaks about Otzitz Nokov and Otzitz Shein Nokov. Otzitz Nokov is a flower pot that has a hole on it in the bottom, which is considered like something which is growing directly from the ground. Otzitz Shein Nokov is not with a hole in the bottom. It's not like something growing from the ground. The obligation to take off Trumas and Maestris only applies to produce, fruits that grow in Otzitz Nokov, not in one that grows in Otzitz Shein Nokov. So the Mishnah says, min Nokov al Shein Nokov, if somebody took produce from a flower pot that has a hole and separated for produce that was grown with a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, truma, it's considered truma. The person who receives it is considered that he's allowed to keep it, even though it's not really valid, because the situation that he took menachiv al-abtor, v'lay hocha, v'lay teichel, but he shouldn't eat it, until truma is removed again, because the original separation wasn't valid midaraisa, because it was a situation that he took from something which is obligated for something which is not obligated. So here we see that we let the kohen keep it, we just make the balbas take it over again. Answers the Gemara. There it's talking about two flower pots. Betray money, when it's talking about two flower pot sauce. Here it's talking about the same flour, the same dough. Bechad mana loy tzos. Bibari say another terrors. Loyalam, kohen mitzvahs. A kohen would indeed listen. If we were told that he has to take off challah from the flour he received, he'll listen to that din. As the Rishonim explained, kahanim is reasoning. Or another explanation is, even if the kohen is told to take off challah again, it really doesn't bother him. So take off challah, who keeps it? He keeps it himself. So that really doesn't represent any loss. However, our concern is for the Baal Bayis, because our concern is the Baal Bayis thinks Nisak Nisosoi. He's going to eat tevil because he's going to think that he already properly removed the challah. Ask the Gemara, why do we have such a concern? Didn't we say, everybody knows that that's not really an acceptable way of taking off challah. So why would we be concerned that the person who made this flour, who had this flour, who owned this flour, will make such an error? Answers the Gemara, he is aware that you're not allowed to take off challah when it's flour. However, but he's not completely clear. The Ksava, Tamamai, why did the Torah say challah shouldn't be taken off? When it's still flour. Because the Torah was concerned that the kohen shouldn't have to bother making it into a dough. And he believes that this kohen, by accepting the challah when it was still flour, doesn't care. Ask the Gemara, v'tav truma, let it be like the case of truma, that the kohen should be allowed to keep it. V'yachs v'yitron, it should just be that he has to take challah again, the owner should have to take challah again. We have, and don't we have such a precedent? Ask the Gemara, milo tanan, mish'ena nokov ala nokov. Here, where he took off from the ptur ala chiyuv, truma, v'yachs v'yitron, answers the Gemara, ha kimna, we already answered this. Betray money, when we're talking about two different flower pots, person source understands that maybe taking off truma from one to the other wasn't valid, and he'll accept our ruling that he should do it over. However, b'chad mana, loit sauce, he won't listen. Ask the Gemara loit sauce, but tanan, hatarim kishes, if somebody took off cucumber as a truma, but nimtzamora, and then he later on found out that is a bitter, it's a spoiled cucumber. Avtiach, he took a melon, for them to suruch, and then it turns out that the melon was spoiled. The halach is truma, the yachs of yitrim. It's considered a valid truma, but he should take it over, do it over again. So we see that even in one situation, the person will listen. Why are we saying b'chad mono loitzos? Shani hosam, says the one, we can't bring a raya from there. Because there, midaraisa truma ma'al yehi, midrabaloi. Midaraisa really, there's everything is fine there. How do we know if somebody takes truma for something which is bad or something that's good? Because the pasuk says, you won't get an aveira if you take inferior produce for good produce. Now, if it's entirely not valid, so says Chait Lama, why does the Torah speak about an Aveira if what you did was totally meaningless? It must be so therefore the Truma is really a valid Truma. The entire concern is only a concern with Rabbanan. So we do hope that even though it's Chad Mana, and the Gemara says the Chad Mana, there's a concern like sauce, so hopefully the person will listen. But even if he didn't listen, we don't have such a serious situation, because midaraisa, what he did is valid. However, in our case of challah, taking off challah when the kemach, when it's still flour, is totally meaningless, even midaraisa. Therefore, our concern is a much more greater concern, coupled with the fact that it's bechad mono, that it's only one utensil, we're concerned like sauce, and that's why Chazal say, to the kohen, give back the challah, and that way we'll be sure that the owner will be mafresh challah properly.